please stand if you would. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Father, Lord, we're so appreciative for all you've done for us. Lord, this little shelter we have that we can come, Father, and Lord, in the middle of the week, come and just draw strength, Father, and Lord, encouragement, strength for the rest of the week, Lord. Father, recharge our batteries. Lord, it's so good to be able to come. Lord, you've provided this little place, and truly from the bottom of my heart, I thank you. Lord, now I ask that you bless everyone that's gathered here tonight. Lord, everyone that's made the effort to come, may you strengthen them, encourage them. Father, look down on their hearts and meet their individual needs abundantly. It's my prayer, Father. Have your way. Lord, and just, Father, as we go through the songs, Father, maybe just settle our hearts and our spirits, Lord, preparing us for whatever you have for us tonight. Lord, we just look to you. We thank you in your precious name. We love you so much. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Let's turn our capstone books and let's start on page 17. Come unto me. Are you glad you heard the call? Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Amen.
Hear the blessed Savior calling me oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Distress within, Christ will sanctify you if you claim his best. In the Holy Spirit, he will give you rest. Oh, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Hear me and be blessed, oh, I and trust my mind. Oh, come, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light.
Amen. Glad I heard his call, saints. Page his name. Page 29, over a few pages there. Take my hand, precious Lord. Amen.
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry.
Page 75. Let's sing this one together. He touched me. Amen.
Shackled by a heavy burden, oh, neath the load of guilt and shame, but then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Amen. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something happened. I met the blessed Savior, and since he cleansed and made me whole, oh, I will never see him. Praise him, oh, praise your holy name. While eternity rolls, oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made, amen.
Sing it with me one more time. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, he touched me. Oh. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole.
Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful, saints. His care, looking out for us. Praise his holy name. Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you take the come up and the offering? Praise his name. Praise his name. That's the blessing, if you would.
Lord Jesus, thank you for touching us and making us whole, Lord God.
Yes,
pray
Lord.
Done for us, and pray you'll bless the service to do your will. Bless the offering for the upbuilding of your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray.
Amen. Where would I be without him? Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I be without Jesus? Oh, where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be? Oh, tell me, where would I be? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, where would I spend eternity? Oh, Every man, every woman should ask that question. Where would you be without him? Amen. How many do I have a request for? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Amos, would you like to take the request? Yes. Praise his name. You may be seated if you like. Amen. Barb, you got something tonight? If you come.
Savior, he died for me.
He died.
died for me.
He broke the chains of sin that bound me. Agape love.
Agape love.
God's love to me. Agape love.
Agape love.
God's love to me.
Let's all stand. Praise his holy name. Sing a little chorus, shine on me. Ask our brother to come.
Shine on me. Shine on me. Let the light from God's lighthouse shine.
Precious Heavenly Father, we're once again so thankful to be here this evening, and Lord, just so thankful to feel your precious presence, and Lord, to be able to sing the wonderful songs, and Lord, they really truly are reality to us, Lord, and a reality of what you're doing and have done in our lives, Lord, and what you're going to continue to do. And Lord, we've just come humbly tonight asking you to have your way, Lord. Just speak to our hearts through these few scriptures and quotes, and Lord, may some way it bless someone, help someone along the way.
Yeah.
And Lord, through it all, may we be able to say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful, so appreciative of all that you do for us. And we want to give you all the glory and the honor that's due you. And we ask it all to your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise
you know, some of us missing this today, but you know, it's just wonderful to be able to gather. You know, you look around and you see many churches that have lots of people, and it's good to be able to get together with that many brothers and sisters. But you know, I think back when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, you know, most of the time it was just him and his 12 disciples. You know, it wasn't a lot of people, but it don't take many, just a few, to get in his presence. Yeah. And my, what a blessed time they can have.
Yeah.
Think of Paul and Silas, just the two of them, down in that old jail, and what a time they had. Amen. Yeah. Aren't you glad to be in God's service? Amen. Yeah. While you're still standing, let's just turn over here to John, the 7th chapter. Just some very familiar scriptures and some quotes we've heard many times, but just little thoughts on my heart, and just some way, maybe some of it'll run in continuity with his, what our brother pastor's been bringing, but not really my line of thought, but we'll just take it and see where the Lord leads us with it. But here, John, the 7th chapter and the 37th verse. And in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to his word, and you may be seated. While you still got your Bibles, I'm going to turn over to John, the 4th chapter, and read a very familiar situation that happened here with the little woman at the well. We'll begin about the 4th verse of the 4th chapter, about the 5th. "And then he cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus at the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me,
which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that say to thee, Give to me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. My, may the Lord bless and redeem his word with that also. But my, I was just dwelling on that little scripture. It'll be in him and a well of springing up. If you look in your middle reference, it says a fountain. It's something that's within. It's not something we, you know, as you look around, oftentimes you hear a lot of people say as they, and we realize that God has given us a place to come. And each time you come underneath the anointing, it's such a refreshing. There's only one true baptism of the Holy Ghost, but many refillings. Many more renewing in the Spirit and just him pouring out his blessings upon you. And that's wonderful. But a lot of people only get satisfied with receiving that blessing upon themselves, and they never take it and get it down on the inside where it truly becomes a genuine blessing that never ends and never goes dry. But it produces, and it's always there, welling up within. And I was thinking here, this is in Led by the Spirit, preached April the 7th, 1959. Brother Branham speaking, it's E13 on the tape. It says, in other words, like this. Before there can be a creation, there has to be a creator to create the creation. And if you're thirsting tonight for the healing power of God, there's got to be a fountain open somewhere, or you'd never thirst for it. How many longs for a deeper walk with God? And every hand up, well, there's a deeper walk somewhere, or you'd never thirst for it. Something has created in you a desire to walk closer to God. And something has created in you a desire to be healed by God. Well, before that could be created in your body, in your spirit, there has to be a creator of that. And that creator is the Holy Spirit. And that's why you're here tonight, is because the Holy Spirit has led you here. And as we all have come, different paths, different walks of life. Maybe some of us wasn't in churches, some of us has been raised in church. But there's been a hunger down in our hearts and our lives from the beginning of our birth, somewhere along the line. Because when you were born, if you was in the thoughts of God, he placed that little gene in you when you would come upon this earth. And my, it laid there dormant. But oh my, one day, when you finally it began to thirst and you begin to feel that draw and that pull, and it drove you till you found that satisfying well. Something that truly satisfied you and something that truly put an anchor down on the inside. Something that settled you. And it was no more a driving purpose for that. You know, many times as you see it begin to, God begins to draw on a person, a lot of times they try to feed it with other things, and they'll go here and try to feed it, they'll go there and try to feed it, and all the time God is trying to lead them a certain direction, trying to bring them to what he's got for them. But oftentimes Satan will get in the flesh and he throws up a hindrance and he throws up a stumbling block and tries to pull and tries to move it this way. But the creator that created that well created the very thirst that's in you. And he made sure that it would wind up right where it was supposed to be. And my, what an assurance it is to be able to see in this day. And what a joy it should bring in your heart. If you can see the things that even our pastor was speaking of knowing that you was in the thoughts of God and can see that that's eternal. And my, how when as we look at this and we begin to realize in ourselves, we see this thirst that's in us. And it's not a thirst to be a churchgoer. It's not a thirst just to be a part of something, to be this or that. You know, oftentimes in times past, people begin to thirst for something and they got satisfied with a denomination. Well, now I'm a Christian. I go to a Pentecostal church. I go to a Baptist church. I go to this, and now I'm a Christian. And it begins to settle down, and then they begin to fail to realize that they didn't really get what they was searching for. But they begin to satisfy it with other things, begin to satisfy their mind with just the thought, well, I belong to church, and I belong to this, and I belong to that. But oh my, and the true, genuine believer, there is a thirst down on the inside and a hunger. And it will not stop or be satisfied with anything less than this word 100% in their lives. It's a driving, it's a force, it's something within them. You can't explain it to someone that doesn't understand. But, you know, oftentimes many people get satisfied in just, well, I know this brother don't believe the word and he's preaching this and he's preaching that, but I'm still going to go to church there. It don't matter. It's whatever. But all down in that little elected, there's something stirring. Something that's been predestinated to what the true, pure, unadulterated word of God. Something that's alive and real. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Amen. Not man's words, not man's creed or man's doctrine, but the word of God is spirit and it is life. And that soul can't feed on nothing but that and be satisfied. And you take someone that's once tasted and truly realized and had that come in the inside of them and that soul's been changed and you watch their hunger and their thirst change and you watch it go to hungering for the word. They don't want nothing else. They don't want some man-made system or something that somebody else can put together or say it's all right. But they only want one thing, and that's something that they can bank their soul on. They want to be able to look back and see it in the Word and know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when that once anchors in someone's heart, there's nothing can change that. It's there to stay, and that's what they're looking for, is to see this Word manifested and vindicated. But my, as he says here in expectation, he's going to reference to fruit just a little, through the fruit trees a little bit, but you know, as we see the way we are today, we can't help but to be what we are. You know, each person in life can't help to be but what they are, what God predestinated them to be, because before this world was formed, I believe and I know that God predestinated me to be a seed in this hour. By His grace, I've realized that and recognized that, and each one of us have to do that for ourselves. We can't rely upon someone telling me I am. Or someone says I will be, but I've got to know for myself with an assurance that I can stand on that. It don't matter, you know, when it's great big numbers, it's easy for people to stand and it's easy to join arms and say, oh, we got it, we're all right. But when the numbers begin to dwindle and then it's just one and two and three, four left, then it's a little harder for some to stand. Then you got to stand on your own. And then it might come down to where it's only you having to stand there. Is it still just as sure in your heart that what you believe is thus saith the Lord? It's the word. It's what God said.
Yeah.
If everyone else walks away, can you stand by yourself and say, I know I believe what this is. This is what God has revealed to me. Because that's the day we're living in, saints. One of these days it may come down to that. We may look around and everyone's abandoned you. And you might be the only one sitting there. And you might have, as Job did, sitting there, have accusers come, oh, you must be a secret sinner, and you must be this, and you must be that. But oh, you better be able to stand there with assurance in your heart and know, I've done exactly what God told me to do. Not what the pastor told me to do, not what brother so-and-so told me to do, but I've done exactly as God directed me to do in my life. My, that's what a blessed assurance to have, saints.
Amen.
You know, so many people have begin to rely. They rely on man. They want man to be there for them. And the people don't understand. And we've been there. We've experienced it of lifting a pastor or a teacher or someone up high enough that, oh, if I can just get there and ask him, he'll have an answer. If I can just get there and let him pray for me, it's going to be all right. But oh my, it's coming down to where God said this life would be in each individual. Every branch would bring forth life that was in him. He's the vine, but all those branches that abideth in him are going to bear fruit. Amen.
Amen.
And it's an individual affair, not a group deal. But each one, as we stand here, we should be seeing that take place in our life. Not having to run and ask so-and-so, or I'm going to go here, or being tossed. Somebody comes in and preaches false doctrine, and oh, I just don't know what to believe now. But no, it's become a settled, anchored peace that I know God spoke to me through the prophet. God spoke to me through the word, and I know what I've believed. You know, it seems all down through, it just seems like when you look and every day it seems like I get emails all the time and different things, and nothing wrong with getting proof that things have happened in the past. But you know, people get to where they almost feel like they got to prove. Here it is, Brother Branham said it, and now we finally found it's come to pass. This has happened, or we finally found an eyewitness that said it was so. But I don't need that eyewitness.
Amen.
I don't need someone to testify to me. I don't need someone to get a newspaper and read to me that Israel's going to lose this or get that. I don't need that to verify that what God said through that prophet was going to come to pass. Because it was revealed to me, I know it'll happen. When God's time is right, it's going to happen right to the T. But the only thing I've got to know is God is requiring a life in this hour. And I've got to be dead certain that I am a bearer of the fruit that was meant to be in this day. My, I tell you, as he says here in Expectations, preached February 28, 1954, E55. Just like here, you all raise a lot of little citrus fruits here, he says. Best in the world, this navel and oranges and things. But did you know that that little navel tree that you set out there, just about that big, that every bushel of oranges that'll ever be on that tree is in it right then? It's where it, if it doesn't, where does it come from? I want to ask you, I don't know how many bushels of oranges an ordinary tree would produce in a lifetime of the tree. Probably many hundreds of bushels. But preacher, tell me where in the world that hundreds of bushels of oranges will be in that little tree. My brother, you tell me where they come from if it's not in that little tree. It's in there right then. And then the only thing you have to do is plant that little tree and put the water to it. Is that right? And it has to go to drinking from that water, nursing that water. And when it goes to drink till it pushes out some leaves, and it'll push out some buds, and it'll push out some oranges. And the only thing that tree does is drink till it pushes out these things out that's on the inside of it. Is that right? And when a man is born to the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, everything he has need of in this life's journey is in him right then. And the only thing he has to do is just drink from the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Christ Jesus, until he pushes out divine healing and powers of God. He just pushes it out by his drinking from the everlasting, inexhaustible fountain of life. And my, how it is, you know, you, in so many, they worry, oh, I want to speak in tongues. I need to speak in tongues. I need to lay hands on the sick. You don't even have to do that. All you got to do is find that place and get born again, filled with the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you watch God from the inside out, all those things just automatically come. Overcoming becomes automatic. It's not something you got to try to do. You don't have to bite your tongue. You don't have to pinch it off. You don't have to, I'm just going to lock myself in a room so I don't say nothing bad to hurt somebody's feelings. You don't have to do any of that. You just begin to drink in this precious word. Just drink it in and partake of it, and then you watch it. That little gene of life on the inside, as it begins to drink from the fountain it was predestinated to drink from, you just watch it begin to, that change begin to automatically take place in there. Watch it just work on the inside. It ain't something you got to put on, something you got to try to make yourself do, but it'll come automatically about of its own accord. It'll bubble right out. And how each one of us should be looking and watching our lives, and if we see this, what a joy it should bring, how happy we ought to be to know that. I know in times past you and I both, we've all been made to do things that we didn't really believe to do. But we've done it because, oh, that's the rule, that's the law, that's the way it has to be done. But oh my, when you see it begin to take place, you know, I think oftentimes Brother Branham even mentioned it. As he says here, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but let's just read this here in the God Hiding Himself in Simplicity. This is paragraph 37. 5, he says, no, on a highway of holiness, people try to make themselves holy. And when you do, it's just like I said before, it would be like a buzzard trying to put dove feathers in himself to make a dove out of it, when in his nature still a buzzard, see? It would be like a crow trying to put pigeon feathers or a peacock and saying, see, I'm a beautiful bird. See, it's something manufactured. But a peacock don't have to worry whether he's going to have peacock feathers or not. And that dove don't have to worry whether he's going to have dove feathers or not. As long as his nature is a dove, he will have dove feathers. See, the holiness people begin to say that women must wear long hair and long sleeves and all these things and long skirts and not wear any wedding rings or jewelry of any type. See, it became a self-righteous holiness. That's manufactured holiness. But the real Church of the Living God, it is, look what's happened to that denomination. Now they've all got cut hair like Pentecostals and so forth, and they all nearly wear rings and so forth. Look at Pentecostals years ago, how they harped on that. And we, the church is Christ's body. It's an individual amongst other individuals that is born into the kingdom of God. And that comes from the inside out. It's automatically lived. And my, even look at us as message, as being a message church. How years ago things that was harped on and things that wouldn't be tolerated. And how the word would have held up a standard, but today it's been slid off. Well, it's all right to get the TV back in the house. It's all right to get this back. And oh, it's all right. My dress don't have to be that long. And it's okay to have a little split in it. It's okay if I trim my hair. And it's okay if I just put a little bit of lipstick on. And it'll be all right. And it gets tolerated and tolerated. And nothing said about it. But oh my, there's been called out few that's got something done on the inside. They don't have to have someone telling them, you need to do this, and you've got to wear long hair. You've got to wear long skirts. You've got to be decent. You've got to be modest. All they need is to know that it says it in the scripture. All they got to do is read it for themselves. And there's something down on the inside that automatically pushes it out. It automatically comes forth in their life. And it works in every aspect of their life. When it's, oh, we know when we come to church, we should be happy and joyous, and we should sing and praise God. And it don't become the preacher. You need to be more happy. You need to be this and you need to be that. But it's automatic expression of what's on the inside. As I begin to sing, what's on the inside of me is going to come out. If I ain't got no joy on me when I come in, it ain't going to come out. But in a manufactured joy don't ever work. You'll lose it the minute you walk out the door. But oh my, if you've got a real settled, deep settled peace on the inside, as our brother sang tonight, he touched me. And you can sing that song and know, down in your heart, he touched you. You don't have to make your hand go up, oh, I better raise my hand because everybody else is. No, there's something in you that raises your hand. There's something in you that's just an automatic reaction. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. But why is not something manufactured. It's not something the church says we have to do it this way. I have to do it that way. But it's something that I read in the Word. He said to praise me. Everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. And it's an automatic bubbling from the inside. That's what I was created to do, was to praise my Redeemer. Oh my, it's not something you have to put on. Something you got to prime, beat the drum, turn the music up, crank it. Try to do whatever you can to get the people going with it. But no, there's a love, there's a joy down on the inside. And whether it's a worship chorus or a joyous song, whatever it may be, you don't have to tell the people to worship the Lord. It's an automatic reaction because it's coming from the inside out. But oh my, I thank God that, we've seen it all sides where you have to prime people and try to get them happy, try to get them to praise the Lord, try to get them to come to church, try to get them to live right, try to get them to do this and that. But oh my, it's so good to know that there's something on the inside that you can see individuals begin to change and turn and put you to that Word without a brow beating, without somebody trying to tell them or make them do it a certain way. But why? They're holy with the holiness of God, not the holiness of some church that's tried to force it. But oh my, it's something that's come right off the pages of His Word. Why? It's Him in there manifesting and bringing Himself to life. Amen. But oh, I pray we're looking and happy. You know, sometimes it's just, it gets to where everyone likes to hear an evangelist because it's always a fast-paced service. And it used to not be that way. The way the evangelist used to be, most people today would throw them out of their churches if they come in preaching against sin like it used to be sometimes. But you know, it's the joyous things they want. But oh my, it's the meat of the Word that brings life. You know, in the springtime, it's wonderful. The rain comes and it waters the ground and the life comes back in the tree and the blooms bloom out and oh, it's all so pretty. And then as you go through summer, it begins to get dry and the leaves get a little harder and crisp. And the tree itself may look like the sun is just almost getting the best of it, but the old fruit is hanging out there just turning as ripe as it can be, soaking up those rays and enjoying every minute of it. And my, that's where we're at today. The revival fires throughout the land have died, but there's a revival in the heart of the bride. And as the sun is shining, there's a joy in her heart as she sees the Word being made manifest. Events made clear by prophecy, you see it taking place and you see all of this happening all around you. It don't steal the little bride's joy, but it causes a greater praise, a greater hunger in her heart because she knows it won't be long. Amen. She's going to take her final flight off of this earth. But my saints, I pray each one of us is truly hungering for that, truly praying to see that. You know, we each one we live as every day goes by, and you can look around and you see so many, and you just see this being taken away from the Word, and this churches fall off here and they go off there, and it seems like that's the majority. And then maybe you're left being called the old fogey, or oh, you all go too far. You don't need to do this and you don't need to do that. But you can't help yourself. It's not the church or some church you go to that's governing you. But it's the word that you understand. The word that God has revealed to you has taken over your life. And it'll make you different. You know, that peacock and a bunch of chickens is sure going to look a lot of funny. Because he can't help but be a peacock. No matter how hard he try to be a chicken, he'll never make it. And then feathers are going to stand out like a sore thumb. And that's just the way it is with a true Christian. You may get in a group and you may get in amongst someone. And oh my, the light shine from you and it just looks so much different. But oh, thank God if it's shining from the inside out and not something you're trying to put on or something you're trying to make up. But it's there every day. Amen. Amen. I kind of jumped around there, but this is in the Message Thirst. He says, oh, of course, the people will laugh at you and say you've lost your mind, you've gone crazy. But remember what they're drinking from, see? Look where they're at. Could you imagine a big artesian well spurting up fine water and somebody down at one of them holes down there with dead tadpoles and creeds and everything laying in it, drinking down there, looking up and making fun of you? Oh, why doesn't he know? He doesn't know what a thirst-quenching stream you're living at. That's exactly right. We've got a living God, not one that died 1,900 years ago and stayed in the grave, but one that raised again. Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost that's here now. And he is that satisfying portion because he's the Word. That's right. The Holy Ghost wrote the Word. He interprets the Word. And the Bible said in 2 Peter that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Men of old, moved by the Holy Ghost, wrote the Bible. Now you can't do it. You can't satisfy that holy thirst with nothing less than God himself living in you and the person of the Holy Spirit. Education, culture, joining churches, reciting creeds, going to belong in a fellowship, and all these things are very good, but they will not stop that holy hush, that holy thirst, rather won't hush that holy thirst. Amen. And I thank God that there's a thirst down on the inside, and you should too if you should. Saints, there's many. As long as the word is joyous and as long as it's all the happy things of God that they can talk about. Oh, they want to shout and they want to scream and they want to jump. But oh, let the word begin to step on your toes or come down and tighten up the belt just a little bit. And oh, they lose their joy so quick. So quick they ain't got an amen no more. And so quick they've done an, oh, I just don't want to. I don't like to go over to hear that preacher preach. I just don't like to hear that. But oh my, there's something down in that little elected seat. It don't matter. That's what they're wanting. It's crying in their heart to have the true word of God. It's not just to live off of the excitement. And that's what a lot of them's living off of. But oh my, there's something down on that little elected seat. It's down inside of them. And they live off of it every day of the week, all day long. And they bring it to them when church services come. They don't have to come in and have the song leader get them all excited. Or the preacher get up and do all kinds of dances across the pulpit to get the people excited. No, but it's something down on the inside that's burning. It's bubbling. Welling up from inside. Amen. Let me see. I seem like I missed a quote here. Amen. I know I had another one there, and I'll sure slid it inside something. Amen. Amen. This is in the Rising of the Sun. I can't find the one I was looking for, but this is, he says, it's Rising Sun, paragraph 201. And the individual that comes, that everything works on the same scale of God, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice on your way, growing to the fullness of the resurrection led by the Spirit. As the S-U-N pulls that little plant that's drinking from God's fountain, just keep so it can only drink from one thing. You pour oil down on that little seed one time, it'll kill it. That's right. You pour stagnated water, old water, that ain't no good. It's contaminated, it'll stunt the growth, and it won't bear fruit. Is that right? But you pour real good soft rainwater, amen, no man chemicals in it, and just let it come from heavens above and watch that little plant. And there's no water will grow that like rainwater. You put chlorine and stuff in it like that, you try to dose it up with this and that, and the first thing you know, it'll kill the plant. And my, how true it is, and it's, as you get to taste, as you begin to understand God's word and it begins to mean so much to you, when you begin to see someone else cut it down or tear it apart or take away from it, it brings such a sickness in you when you hear that. It's something you don't even want to hear. You feel so bad. It's not that you hate the person that's doing it or dislike the person, but there's just a dislike that they would say and take away from what God's word has said. But oh my, there's something down in that little elected seed. It's all they can say is all they want is this. They don't want nothing added to it. And they don't want nothing took from it. But they want it just the way it's been wrote. Something they can anchor their soul in. Something you can be steadfast and sure with. And my, that's the day we're living in. There's got to be a people that's steadfast. Anchored. Nothing moves them. They can walk through life. Nothing stirs them or shakes them loose. But they're holding on to God's hand. Why don't you sisters go ahead and come to the instruments if you would. Let me see if I can find this. Maybe I slid it over here. Amen. This is in the message, Broken Sisters, preached January 23rd, 1965. And when God promised that he would vindicate his word in every generation, for the promises unto you and to your children and them that's afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call, why would you pump on some systematic pump that's been contaminated for years for some old manna? Maybe the manna was all right, nothing against it in the days of Martin Luther, in the days of this, in the days of that, or the other reformers, nothing about it. But that manna is that fell a long time ago. If we notice in the Bible that they had to pick it up every day, they had to get it new. After it got a little old, it rotted. It cannot rot without breaking down. It has to have bacteria in it or something to make it rot. We know that so. And so is the system. After it lays there from one great revival to another one, it gets contaminated and gets full of bugs and little cistern full of wiggle tails, as we used to call it. Little old bugs that wiggled in there. And that's what's the matter with so many people's experience today. They're just full of wiggle tails. Wiggling from one to one and one to the other, telling tales that ain't got no truth in it at all. That's right, wiggling out of one into another. I was Methodist, I joined the Baptist. I was Catholic and I went to be this. I went to be that. It was just wiggle tails. Oh, forget the whole thing. And come to the fountain, amen, the artesian well, the ever-living presence of Christ. I believe him to be the inexhaustible fountain of life. More you get from him, the fresher it gets and the colder it gets and the better it gets and the sweeter it tastes. Brother Branham said, I've been serving him now for 33 years, and each day it grows sweeter still than it was the day before. He said, you would never thirst if you would drink of this water. Notice how great it is. Amen. And I pray each one of us has truly found that fountain, and that you can drink, and you're just, it's an inexhaustible fountain to you, and every day it's fresh and it's flowing. And it's something, you know, so many people, they get in a routine of, I've got to read a quote a day, or I've got to read a book a day, I've got to read a page a day. And it begins a ritual to them, and I've got to do that or I'm not keeping up. And they lose totally the joy of reading God's word, picking up what God's given them, or even meditating on the Lord. When you get in the mindset, I have to, it should come from the inside out. I'm doing it because I love to. I read this because that's what I want to read. I don't read it because I have to. I read it because there's a love on the inside that's burning. That as I pick that up and begin to read, there's something that stirs down on the inside. Just reading a book, just reading a quote, you can feel it churn. Something inside, it just feels so good, so refreshing. My, I pray each one of us feels that every time we get together around the Word. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Just a few words might seem a little chopped up, but I pray some way it helps someone along the way. Hey, man, you know, it's just good to be here. I'm just so happy. You know, when you can't come, and last Sunday morning we were a little under the weather there, and we all stayed home, and my, it's just like part of your day's gone. You miss it so much, and you miss the chance to be there. And I took the time and we live-streamed another brother's sermon Sunday, and my, how thankful it makes you for what the Lord's done for you and gives you. And how much you begin to understand what the Lord is. He just blesses. And why does the Word satisfy me? And why does, I don't want nothing else. But it's okay for others. They'll just so easily accept when someone wants to take away from it or somebody wants to add to it. But oh, I thank God that he placed a desire down inside. That let's do nothing, but let's hold his standard and hold his banner high. Yeah. And say that God sent a prophet, and it's been a long few years now, however, 40-some, 50, almost 50 years probably. But thank God that there's still something down on the inside. It didn't get old. That's not old stale manna or old stale bread, but it's still fresh every day.
Amen.
And it still means just as much today as it meant the day that he brought it to someone. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody got a chorus on your heart, something you'd like to sing? Brother Amos?
Let me sing "There Is a River."
Amen. Let's sing it.
There is a
be a thirst in our hearts all the time. Thirst for a closer walk with the Lord. A thirst to do His will. A thirst, amen, to walk pleasing in His sight. A thirst to have the Word of God fulfilled in and through our lives. Yes, what a day we're living in. And we should have that thirst that He's speaking about. Amen, each and every one of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank Him for being here tonight. Amen. We're able to be here tonight. Amen. Because there might become a time we won't be able to gather like this. Amen. But praise God for every time we have this opportunity. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're truly glad that we're able to be here tonight, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the song service and the special songs, Lord, and my God, in the ministering of Thy Word, Lord, it seems like everything just kind of flowed together, Lord, according to Your will and Your purpose, Lord. And we just pray, Father, as we leave here tonight, Lord, that the words that were spoken, Lord, would just cause us to have a greater thirst, Lord. My God, for Your Word and for Your truth and for Your life to be manifested in us and through us, dear God. Keep Your hand upon us and bring us back at Thine own appointed time if You should tarry, Lord. And My God, if not, Lord, may we all gather, Lord, my God, around your great throne, Lord, to worship you, Lord, throughout eternity. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You're dismissed.